This is the day that the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad.
I welcome you all here the sixth Sunday after Pentecost. We'll be following the order of service that you received. We're using Divine Service 4 out of the Open Service Book, pin numbers 804, 839, 781, 624, 664, 718, and 966. We'll begin on page 3 with confession and absolution, followed by the sharing of peace and the procession opening. Let us rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us kneel and be seated for the confession of sin. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us rise and share the peace of the Lord with one another.
Thank you.
the fullness of your grace, that we may be called to repentance and made partakers of your heavenly treasures. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated for the reading of our lessons from God's Holy Word.
Rise to the singing of the Alleluia verse.
Astonished, saying, "Where did this man get these things?
What is the wisdom given to him? How are such mighty works done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary and brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. And Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor, except in his hometown and among his relatives and in his own household. And he could do no mighty works there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And he went about among villages teaching. And he called the 12 and began to send them out two by two, and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He charged them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not put on two tunics. And he said to them, whenever you enter a house, stay there until you depart from there. And if any place will not receive you, and they will not listen to you, when you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them. So they went out and proclaimed that people should repent. And they cast out many demons, and anointed with oil men who were sick, and healed them. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated for the children.
Remember to rely on you.
In all things, give you praise.
Son's name, Jesus, we pray.
In the Son's name, Jesus, we pray.
Amen. You know what? I do have some cookies for you. Is that enough? You're having a have a great week, okay? Thanks.
We continue with our sermon, you know, Christ, our true and only light, on page 12. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. After the healing of the woman with the discharge of blood and the raising of Jairus' daughter that we heard about in last week's gospel reading, Jesus travels with his disciples to his hometown of Nazareth, about a 26-mile walk from Capernaum. That Sabbath, Jesus begins to teach in the synagogue, and the reaction of the people is astonishment. Some are astonished, maybe like the people of Capernaum. They were astonished at his teachings, for he taught them as one who had authority and not as the scribes. Others, it seems, are astonished because Jesus is a hometown boy and now he's back acting all high and mighty. They've heard the stories about what Jesus has done, the healings, the driving out demons, the calming of the storm, the raising of Jairus' daughter from the dead, that Jesus is doing things that only God can do. But Nazareth's a town of probably only about 400 people. And as any of you know who grew up in a small town, everybody knows everybody. And they all know this Jesus fellow. Despite all that they have heard, they know this Jesus is nobody special. He's a carpenter, after all. And his parentage is pretty questionable. This Jesus is not one of the important people of Nazareth, and here he is, rolling into town after being gone for a bit, acting like he is all that. Who does he think he is? Now, earlier in Mark, we saw how Jesus' family thought he was crazy. Now we see the people of Nazareth reject Jesus. They are offended that Jesus is teaching in the synagogue. And Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his hometown and among his relatives and in his own household." Jesus tells them the problem is not with him, the problem is with them. He is a prophet and more, but they cannot see past their own issues of familiarity to recognize this. And he could do no mighty works there, except he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. The people had been astonished, wondering, how are such mighty works done by his hands? Now Jesus can do no mighty works in Nazareth. Why is that? What does this mean? Why can Jesus do no mighty works? Perhaps it's Jesus' judgment on Nazareth for rejecting him. He taught in their synagogue, and instead of following Jesus, they bring up Jesus' pedigree and reject him. So maybe Jesus is bringing judgment. There are times that we wonder if God is judging us. You pray for healing, you pray for relief, and God does not answer the prayer the way you want him to, and you wonder, is God judging me for my sin? Judgment seems like a reasonable explanation, but it does not fit with Jesus' mission and ministry. John the Baptist thought that Jesus was coming immediately with axe and fire to destroy all sinners, but Jesus comes rather with water and words to bring people salvation. We learn Jesus' attitude towards immediate judgment in Luke 9. When the days drew near for him to be taken up, Jesus set his face to go to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers ahead of him who went and entered a village of the Samaritans to make preparations for him. But the people did not receive him because his face was set toward Jerusalem. And when his disciples James and John saw it, they said, "Lord, do you want us to tell fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But he turned and rebuked them, and they went on to another village. The disciples want judgment, and Jesus rebukes them. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Judgment Day will come on the last day with axe and fire, but until then, Jesus is on a mission of mercy. Jesus is on a mission to save, and that mission continues among us today. The mission is to save, not to judge. People question Jesus, misunderstand Jesus, resist Jesus, but Jesus does not give up on them. Jesus takes God's judgment upon himself on the cross. He pays for the sins of the whole world and opens the kingdom of God to all. So it is not for judgment that Jesus can do no mighty work. Perhaps it's because the people of Nazareth lack faith. Maybe Jesus is unable to do miracles because the people do not believe. After all, Jesus does marvel at their unbelief. This is an idea that is still a very big concern among Christians today. Faith healers on the television claim that if you just have enough faith, you will get a miracle. There are churches that teach that God wants to bless you with health and wealth. And if he's not blessing you, it's because you lack faith. They teach that if God is not answering your prayers the way you want him to answer, it's because of your lack of faith. To be perfectly clear, God does not need your faith to perform miracles. The creator of heaven and earth does not need your faith to rule the world. Jesus fed 5,000 people and calmed a storm without anyone's contributing faith. When Jesus returns to raise all the dead, all people will be raised, whether or not they had faith in Jesus. So if Jesus is not judging the people for lack of faith, and he is not needing their faith to perform miracles, why is it that he can work no miracles in Nazareth? Well, miracles are not a reward for faith. But miracles can lead to punishment for those who do not believe. Jesus is not pleased with those who want him to do miracles as kind of a show in Mark 8. The Pharisees came and began to argue with him, seeking from him a sign from heaven to test him. And he sighed deeply in his spirit and said, "Why does this generation seek a sign? Truly, I say to you, no sign will be given to this generation." Just before his crucifixion, Jesus is sent to Herod, who's excited because he wants to see Jesus perform some sign. Jesus doesn't. For those who have seen Jesus' miracles and still do not believe, there are harsh words of condemnation. We hear this in Matthew 11. "Then Jesus began to denounce the cities where most of his mighty works had been done, because they did not repent. 'Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! If the mighty works done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, it will be more bearable on the day of judgment for Tyre and Sidon than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? You will be brought down to Hades. For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I tell you, it will be more tolerable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom than for you." Jesus is on a mission of grace as he visits Nazareth, and he is still on that mission of grace here today. Even though his family and the people of Nazareth reject him, Jesus wants them to be saved. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not quench until he brings justice to victory. Jesus does not want to harm the people of Nazareth. He wants to bring the good news. And so despite their rejection of Jesus, he still loves his family and the people of his hometown, and he wants them to believe. He even heals a couple of people, but quietly. It's so natural for us to want to reject those who reject Jesus, perhaps even punish them. But this is not Jesus' way. Jesus loves all people, those who follow him and those who reject him. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves even me. Jesus wants all people to be saved. Jesus died for all people. Jesus' mission of salvation is still for all people. Jesus has not given up on anyone yet. You can look the most ardent atheist in the eye and speak the truth to them. Jesus loves you, and he died on the cross to pay the price for your sins. And it's true, because Jesus is still on his mission of mercy. Judgment day has not yet come. There is still time. Repent and believe the good news. The devil loves to throw your sins in your face as if they would keep God from loving you. Jesus comes for sinners. Jesus comes for you. Jesus has sealed you as his child in the kingdom of God. You are a new creation in Christ, washed clean in the waters of holy baptism. You have received the mighty work of forgiveness of all your sins. Jesus has done a miracle for you and has given you eternal life. Amen. And now may the peace of God, the peace that is beyond understanding, keep your hearts and minds in true faith until our Lord Jesus returns in glory. Amen. We rise and confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible. And in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge my baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. The prayers today, remember Carol and I recovered from cancer treatments, Becky Prosper has cancer, Jeff Snell out in the Leda's Sons in hospice care at home. For Elijah King of Britain's grandson has surgery scheduled July 9th. For Linda Smith, Fred the Roche family receiving chemotherapy. For Dawn Merritt, Nancy Roche's mother, scheduled to have a second surgery for treatment and with treatments after for cancer. For Brendan Borchers, Brendan Natalie Peters, for our home on hospice. For Michael Stolenwerk, a nephew of Pastor Jane Camps, who's having complications from multiple brain surgeries. For Phil Harbin, having bad side effects from cancer treatments. For Lisa Reed, the cousin of Jeanette Hyper, who's fighting terminal cancer. And for Megan Jefferson and her family at the impending death of Megan's father. Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people, according to their needs. Heavenly Father, your Son endured rejection in this world. You lead us likewise through a hostile world that shows no honor to your church or its wisdom. Do not let us lose heart. Steel us for opposition and let us rest confidently on what you, Lord, have said. Lord, in your mercy. Holy God, your great and mighty work is to create faith by your Holy Spirit in the eternal blessings of your Son, Christ Jesus. We implore you to make your creatures effective for proclaim the prophetic word, and remove all stubborn ears from our midst. Do not leave us without your word, but make your home among us and restore the joy of your salvation. Lord, in your mercy. The Lord soften the hearts in every home. Turn parents and children toward each other in love and patience. Banish the spirit of impudence, stubbornness, and rebellion from all. Sanctify us in your truth. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, protect and defend our nation from its enemies. Support our leaders and preserve them from temptation. Through the work of our civil authorities, enable us to live a quiet and peaceable life according to your word. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious Lord, in our weakness, we are strong for the sake of Christ, whose grace is sufficient for every need. Give comfort to those whose pain is chronic, whose sustained suffering is unknown, who wrestle with difficult thorns in body or mind, who are tempted to despair. Hear our prayers for Carol, Becky, Jeff, Elijah, Linda, Dawn, Brenda, Michael, Flo, Alicia, and Megan's father. In weakness, insults, hardship, persecutions, and calamities, let us boast in Christ and his cross, by which we and our sufferings are sanctified. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, out of your abundant blessings, you satisfy us with Christ, the bread of life. Give repentance and faith to all who commune this day, and finding refuge in your Son's true body and blood, may taste and see that you are good. Lord, in your mercy.
all these things and whatever else you know that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again and now lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns through all eternity. All who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, we give you thanks for the redemption you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Grant us your Holy Spirit that we may faithfully eat and drink of the fruits of his cross and receive the blessings of forgiveness, life, and salvation that come to us in his body and blood. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way, also he took the cup after supper. And when he gave thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you all. preserve you in true faith and the life everlasting. Heart and peace. Your sins are forgiven. Let us bless the Lord.